Romans chapter 16 tonight, and I have been struggling, I have to say, with this passage. From Romans 5, the latter part of Romans 16 and verse 5, the latter part of this verse, all the way through 16, we have a list of people that the Apostle Paul told Phoebe that he wanted to make sure that she gave greetings to these individuals. And as you read through these, we see their names given and perhaps a little statement that goes with them. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, how should I approach this passage of Scripture? It can be a little dry, and we don't know much about these individuals. As a matter of fact, several of these, this is the only time that they're mentioned in the New Testament. It's a listing of individuals that Paul wanted to be greeted. And so I believe the Lord kind of shared with me some things that I needed to emphasize in regard to our expression of love to other brothers and sisters in Christ. There are three things that I want to share with you from this passage of Scripture. I want to read again, beginning at verse 5 of chapter 16 through verse 16, and I trust that we'll gain some things here in a generic way about how we express our love to other brothers, sisters in Christ, Christian fellowship. Look at the latter part of verse 5. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia, or Asia, unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you or greet you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you, Father, for these fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that one of these days we're going to meet in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for their testimony. What wonderful things are shared. And we learn from this passage that none of these individuals seem to have any spiritual problems that needed to be addressed, but were just fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray, dear Father, that we might take to heart some of the things that are shared here, that we might understand how we should greet other brothers and sisters in Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want us to see tonight how love was conveyed. Now, there were three individuals or groups involved here with these greetings that were coming from the Apostle Paul that were going to go by way of Phoebe to the people there in Rome. There was the person sending the greeting. That was the Apostle Paul. It was his love that was being expressed to these believers in Rome. It would be carried there by Phoebe. She was going to be the one that carries the letter, and she was going to be delivering this letter and sharing with them and bringing attention to these individuals and sharing with them the Apostle Paul's heart expressions to them. And then, of course, there were the people that were receiving the greeting. So there are three groups in view here. The person delivering the message, which was the Apostle Paul, the one who would carry that message, and then the ones who would receive that message. Now, this is important to understand here. We see here how God preserved His Word. And we're going to look further at this when we get a little bit further here in chapter 16. I'm going to devote an entire message over here in the latter part of verse 16 where Tertius here, verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. I want us to see how God inspired His Word and how He preserved His Word. Paul was received the word from the Holy Spirit. He spoke that word to an amanuensis, a person who was a secretary, who wrote down that word, and Paul didn't have any problem with doing that. Paul spoke the words, and Tertius wrote those words down. And Paul, I'm sure, spoke to him and said, Tertius, why don't you give a personal word here to the fellow believers that are in Rome? And he wrote that note down. Folks, that line there is just as inspired and preserved of God as the rest of the book of Romans. You know, people get all bent out of shape when we think about the transmission of the Word of God. You know what? I don't have one concern or worry about that, because God promised that He was going to preserve His Word. Amen? And there have been people who wrote and said, that verse 22 is not inspired. There are people in churches across America that say verse 22 of Romans 16 is not inspired because a man made a personal word to the church of Rome. So that's not inspired. Oh, yes, it is. Because it's preserved by God. Now, we need to get that into our hearts and minds. Do we really believe that God can take care of His Word from generation to generation to generation? Can He preserve His Word when everything seems to be destroying it? Yes, He can. Yes, He will. Long past the time that Todd Brainerd is in the grave somewhere, God is going to keep preserving His Word until the trump sounds. And there will no longer be a need for the preservation of His Word here upon this earth, because the living Word will be here. I want to tell you something, folks. I think today that the problem that the church is having is that we think that it's on us to preserve His Word, and it's not. We're supposed to contend for the faith once delivered, but God's in the preservation business. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. God preserved His Word as Paul spoke that word to a man, Tertius, who wrote down that word. And then it was bundled up and sealed with wax and handed to the sister Phoebe. Boy, that would get a lot of independent Baptists all in a twist. You gave that to a woman to deliver? Isn't that sad that that's where we are today? People are all twisted up, you know. Why didn't a man deliver that? Let me tell you something, folks. God uses women and He uses men. Get over it if you've got a problem with that. And by the way, there says that there are women deacons in the Bible. Ooh. Some people get in a twist. Church constitutions. Oh, we can't have any women. Yes, we can, because the Bible says there were. Phoebe was one, a deaconess, used of the Lord. He writes to the people in the early verses. We've already studied this, but I want to emphasize this. Paul said, listen, I'm sending Phoebe with this letter. You take care of her. I think there was probably a few that had a little problem. He said, you take care of her needs. She'll be a blessing to you if you'll let her be. She's that kind of a woman. She'll uplift and help and assist in a remarkable way. You help her out. She's my representative. We talked about the number of women that are addressed here that Paul says, I want you to greet them. I want you to salute them in the Lord. They're my fellow helpers by the grace of God. Paul didn't have a problem, and the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have a problem, because He included it in His Word. And we just need to get beyond some of our thinking. And we need to cast our thinking aside and let the Word of God. This is what we were dealing with this morning, the authority of the Word of God and how it reflects in our heart. We gather up tradition and we gather up those things that we were taught when we were young. But if it doesn't line up with the Bible, throw out what you were taught and get in line with the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do. If we're going to be Bible believers, we have to let the Bible speak, and then we cast aside all of our ideas and all the things that we were taught that aren't in line with the Bible, and we say, I stand with the Word. That's what it means to be a Bible-believing Christian. And so, bless God, if Paul chose Phoebe to carry the letter, amen, Phoebe. Praise the Lord, I'm going to get to see her one day. I'm going to thank her. I'm going to thank her for being a willing servant and a helper of the saints. May her tribe increase. I'm praying for the girls of our church. that we'll have Phoebes that God raises up. I praise God every day for the Bonnie Rotts and the Belinda Richters and the Miranda Roses. People say, well, I'm not going to support a woman to go to the mission field. Paul did. Got a problem with that? Paul did. He supported a number of women and said they're supporters of missions. So we got to get in line with the Word of God. We got to put aside our prejudices. And we've got to let the Word take precedent in our thinking. Now, I want you to see tonight, and this I've laid this groundwork because I want you to see now where we're going with this. Because I have to say that as I read this, I got rebuked. As I thought about this and meditated, the expression of Paul's love to the believers in Rome and how he did this. First of all, the expression of his love. Love conveyed through three understandings. I want to leave this with you tonight. Number one, he conveyed his Christian love through greetings. Now, this particular Greek word means embrace. It means to embrace. It means to physically embrace. Now, the charismatics have just about destroyed our idea of physical expression of love to each other, have they not? They've carried it to such lengths and so forth like that that we have recoiled, and so we kind of step back from any kind of physical expression of our love for each other. But I want you to understand that the Bible here indicates that Paul said to Phoebe, I want you to embrace these individuals for me. This is from Paul. This is from Paul. Now, I want you to understand that in this particular word, there is no concept or idea of anything sexual. All right? That's where the world goes, but that's not where Christians go. Now, it's too bad that things have gone there in the church today. Things get out of hand sometimes with believers. We've had this false, slurpy type Christianity today where people, I don't know, someone was telling me the other day that somebody came up, total stranger, and just came up and just was all over them, you know. Oh, this is the way I am. Hello, how are you doing? Didn't even know who the person was. Now, I believe in personal space, amen? And there are some people that will just about tackle you and knock you down. And so I've got a little method of kind of holding them off a little bit. If I see them coming, I extend my hand like this. Slow them down a little bit, okay? Let them know, hey, a little bit of a space there. You know, there's just something about those kind of people. But you know what? We have to be careful that we don't come across as that you don't express Christian love by embracing, because Paul did. And I want you to see secondly here, he said, greet them, verse 16, with a what? A holy kiss. Interesting. Interesting. Greet them with a holy kiss. Again, absolutely nothing sexual involved in that word. It was a customary greeting, and I want you to understand this, it was a physical greeting. Isn't that interesting? The first word, greeting, means to embrace. And then the second word, which is a different Greek word, verse 16, I want you to greet them, embrace them with a holy kiss. Now think about that for just a moment. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5, 26, 1 Peter 5 and verse 14, five times, including this passage, Paul says, greet the believers with a what? Holy kiss. Now, I want us to think about that for just a moment. I want us to think about it in this regard. It was a common custom. It was a common custom. Secondly, it was holy. It was separated. That's what the word holy means. It was a practice of physically showing your love for another brother, sister in Christ It was a physical, but it was holy. Now, there are unholy kisses. There's the kiss of adultery. That's unholy. There's the kiss of fornication. That's unholy. There is the kiss of Judas. Remember old Judas? Kissed the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you something. Our Lord showed great restraint. Isn't it interesting that whenever the Roman soldiers came up to take Him in the garden, the Bible tells us in Matthew that something happened. He's the only one that records this. But the Bible says as they approached Him that they all fell backward. Just for a moment there, just for a moment, through the Holy Spirit's power, the Lord just said, back off. Boom! You know, they have these new weapons now that can shoot sonic waves that are so powerful they can knock people to their ground. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was doing that before the U.S. military got a hold of that technology. And He didn't have to have a gun to do it, special sonic gun to do that. He just said, I think He whispered it under His breath, back off. Boom! They were knocked to the ground. They're picking themselves up. What was that? What was that? Just a little show of power through the Holy Spirit. Let them know who was boss. But He accepted the kiss of Judas. Restraint. Oh, it would have taken us, old Judas betraying me, the first thing we would have wanted to do is a sucker punch. Just jack his jaw for doing what he was doing. But the Lord accepted his kiss. It's very interesting to meditate on that, what the Lord accepted and what He rejected at that particular time. The kiss of seduction, that's unholy. But we find here that the holy kiss, the embrace of other brothers and sisters in Christ, is acceptable. It was a fellowship affection, not a romantic one. Spiritual people don't have a problem with that. Unspiritual people do. And that's the difference. How could Paul say to Phoebe, I want you to make sure you greet these people, and I want to make sure that everyone is greeted with a holy kiss? Gives us pause to think. It was a culturally based and yet not necessarily universally binding to us today. How do we greet other brothers and sisters in Christ here in America? Well, we do so with a handshake. When I was in India, it's inappropriate to go up and give somebody a hug. You don't do that in that culture. What they do is they come up and they take their left hand and they place it underneath the forearm. That is a sign of great and deep respect. They come up and they tilt the head as they extend the arm out to you. That's their show of brotherly love for other Christians in that particular culture. When we come to church, we greet each other with a handshake. It's all right to give a hug. Now, if you guys are running up to the ladies giving out hugs, we're going to be watching you. Okay? You know, you got to be careful. There's a special fellowship between Christians, amen? There's a special fellowship. And the world would put the spin of filth on it. But we ought not let the world do the thinking for us in that regard. We've got to follow things according to the Word of God. Hugging, a handshake, or cultural expressions of family affection, and are perfectly fine in the church as long as it doesn't turn into something that's unholy. I'm thankful that the Word of God put holy in front of the word kiss there. Wanted to make sure that everybody understood where the Lord was coming from in this regard. It was a token of Christian brotherhood, whether it was a welcome to an individual or a farewell to them. In the churches, we're told in church history that masters and servants would salute one another without any attitude of condescension on the part of the other. It's also interesting that in the apostolic constitutions, writings of the 4th century, that believers would worship ladies on one side of the church, men on the other side of the church, and they would greet each other with a holy kiss. It was perfectly fine and acceptable to do so. Matter of fact, in the writings it said they were encouraged to salute men, and the women with the kiss of the Lord. That was what it was called in the Latin, the kiss of the Lord. It was without words. It was without words. It was just a physical demonstration of love. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. It's an expression that's given to us, and we ought to express our love not just in words. But it's all right to shake hands. It's all right to give a hug to another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and express our love for each other in the proper context that doesn't take us into the unholy. Everybody understand? I want to make sure I'm perfectly clear here. A holy kiss, a separated kiss. In other words, separated from the filth and vileness of this world, and it's something that expresses our genuine love for each other. You see, love, folks, is not unemotional. It is emotional. It's something that's expressed one toward another. I don't know about you, but I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy being around the other brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't wait to come to church. It's not something that I've ever dreaded. I can say that honestly. As a child growing up and being at church, I've always wanted to be at church. We were taught when we were growing up to love church. It wasn't something that you dreaded to go to church. And by the way, if you dread to go to church, there's something wrong with your heart. That's what it boils down to. There's something wrong with your heart. You need to love being among God's people. There's a special connection that we have, and you know what it is? It's the person of Jesus Christ. When the Mossmans walked into church last Sunday, we had never met them before. I'd seen pictures of him on the GFA website. I knew that they were in Cameroon and had the chance to speak to them afterwards, and there was a connection there. It wasn't a connection that we had similar friends. It was a connection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the Lord is His Savior. I know the Lord is His Savior. We are connected. We are connected. Sometimes we get this holier-than-thou attitude. We get this kind of a standoffishness. God help you to get past that. To get past that. Paul said to Phoebe, I want you to give a physical expression of my love to the brothers and sisters in Christ in Rome. Now, do you have a problem with that tonight? You struggling with that tonight? Turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Some people don't want to do any kind of physical expression. It's hard enough for them to crack a smile. You know, bless your heart. Some people work at frowning, you know. They just work at it. They're professionals at it. God help you. Take a chisel to your face. If you can't make a smile, chisel one on there. Go to the doctor. I don't believe in going to the doctor for, you know, all these kind of makeovers that people do, you know, where they stitch up this and stitch up that, you know, trying to make you look 20 years younger. But I believe in some people need to go and have a smile put on their face, because some people never have one. And you just have to ask the question, where's the joy of the Lord? Where's the joy of the Lord? If you can't smile for the Lord, fake it. You'll brighten the world around you. Just a simple smile. You know, we need to work on that physical expression of our love for each other. Paul did. He's the apostle of the Gentiles. The first century. Phoebe, when you get to Rome, I want you to give them a hug from Paul. I want you to let them know that I love them. And this wasn't a fake type love. Boy, I'm sick of that. This fraudulent fakery that we see today, where today, we've got preachers that change their accent when they get into the pulpit. It's amazing to listen to them. But I listened to some of these guys that I went to school with, and I said, where did they get their talk from? They can't talk just normal like they're talking with each other. They have to put on airs, you know. They have to come across as sounding sophisticated. I can't do that. You'd be laughing your head off. Because I'm unsophisticated. I have people all the time. I'll dial up a number and, hello, Todd. They know my voice. I can't fake this one. This is the one the Lord gave me. They recognize my voice. People say that all the time. I know who you were. And they don't even have a cell phone with my number on it. They just know what my voice is. I told you about a woman preacher that put on an English accent. She put on an English accent, you know? And they asked her why she did that. She said, well, everybody knows that British people sound more intelligent, you know? Wow. Okay. How many of you got a British accent, you know? I wish I could do that. Put on a British accent, I could sound intelligent. You see, what is that? It's just fraudulent, fakery, trying to be something that you're not. Just talk normal. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul did. He was just the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, if he were to walk in through the door, you would say, that was the Apostle Paul. We know he was short. We know that he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but we know that he had serious eye problems. If you were to look at him in heaven when we get there, you'd say, that was the Apostle Paul. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give us a new body. I'm thanking the Lord for that. No bald spots. Actually be handsome. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? That'll be wonderful. Be handsome in heaven. Couldn't be handsome on earth, you know. You look up ugly in the dictionary, they got my picture there. Just in case you didn't know what ugly was, okay? My dad always said this growing up, said that when he was born, said the doctor slapped his mother. instead of slapping the baby to get them cries, slapped the mother for having such an ugly child. Well, you know, that the ugliness continues on, you know, and I passed it on to my children, you know. But you know what, folks? It's not in the physical appearance. The Christian life is about being genuine. And it's all right to express Christian love one to another. And if you got problems with that area, then you need to ask God to help you. That's all I can say. Let the Word speak to your heart tonight. Let him take His heavenly disc and just kind of plow up your old hard heart. Sometimes He'll have to do that. He'll put on the big disc on the tractor of love and drive over your life and put some furrows in there to loosen you up, to teach you about what it means to love other brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, folks, we need to be concerned about each other. As I read through this list, I'm overwhelmed by the fact that the Apostle Paul knew these folks by name and was concerned about them. He knew about their personal testimonies. Do you know? Do you know about the personal testimonies of folks here in this church? Do you care? You should. You should. You ought to know our missionaries. You ought to know their children's names. We go to the trouble to putting their names inside the missionary bulletin. Do you pray for them? Do you know them? One of the greatest grievances that missionaries say when they come to the States is that they go to their supporting churches, and oftentimes people will come up and say, oh, who are you? And they'll have to tell them, we're supported by this church. Oh, we didn't know that. Why don't we know that? Why don't we know our missionaries? Because we have the mentality, us four and no more. We're just concerned about our little clan. And if you're not in our little clan, and we're not concerned about you. You know, that's kind of juvenile, is it not? Isn't it interesting in middle school and high school, everybody pairs up in groups. You'll see them get together, whoosh, over here, and this group over here, whoosh, you know, and they all get together, you know. And you have to meet certain qualifications in order to be in that group. Maybe you have to comb your hair in a certain way, okay? Maybe you have to have special teeth to be in this group. Something really important, you know, in order to be in this particular group. Cliques were meant to be busted up. That was one thing that Dr. Hobbs taught me. One of the things, when you see a clique forming, jump in the middle of it and break it up. There's a whole world out there. There's a whole world out there. There's more people in it than just you and your two or three friends. That's what disturbs me so much about those that are allowed to just get off to themselves and all they do is talk to each other all the time. That's a mighty tiny world, is it not? It's not much of a world if you ask me. We need to teach our children to be concerned about the elderly. Amen? We live in a world that hates the elderly. We live in a world where they want to get rid of the elderly. Just go to Eastern Europe. Go to some of these countries where euthanasia, and if they have a little problem, give them the drugs, get them off the scene. We don't want to take care of them anymore. You know where that comes from? It comes from an attitude of growing up where you don't care about the elderly. You're not concerned about them. We need to expose our young people. I encouraged our middle school Bible class. I said, I want you to adopt an elderly couple or an elderly person. And I had one of my students that did that. There was an elderly couple in their neighborhood, and he went and introduced himself. He said, my name is such and such. And he said to them, I want to be your helper. And they picked up the phone and called him and said, what's wrong with this boy? Called the mother and said, what's wrong with this boy? He showed up at our doorstep, introduced himself, and said he wanted to clean our house. We've never had a student ever do that. But one from Santa Rosa Christian School did that. You see, folks, we got to get outside of our world. He could never text message that couple. He could never, with a cup and a string, get a hold of them. He had to go up personally and introduce himself and say, I want to be a helper to you. What can I do in your house? I'm your neighbor down the street. So he could be a testimony to them. You see, folks, we got to get out of ourselves. We got to get out of ourselves in this regard. And I want to close with this. You and I, this is the third expression of love, you and I have got to recognize the spiritual bond that we have together in Christ. The phrase in Christ or in the Lord appears 8 times in this passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because of this. How do I know that I passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. Isn't it interesting that God didn't say because we love Jesus? What does He say? Because we love the brethren. I know one of the witnesses that I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is that I have a love for the brethren. You better examine your heart tonight. You got a problem with brothers and sisters in Christ? You better examine whether or not you're in the faith. You better examine whether or not you're a child of God, because the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And He's not finished there. He says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's pretty strong language, is it not? In other words, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Quit lying. You say you're a Christian, but you hate other brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul uses 4 criterion to describe this wonderful bond here in these verses, and I'll close. In verse 13, he describes this bond as chosen in Christ. Believers in Christ are chosen in Him. God chose them, and therefore they are precious to us. God has rescued us from sin and His wrath against us at the cost of His dear Son. We stand in awe because we are chosen in Christ. That's the first unique bond that we have, chosen in Christ. Secondly, the length of time in Christ. This is interesting. 2 instances in verse 5 and verse 7. We see that expression of length of time. Look at verse 5. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Asia unto Christ. He had known this man for a long time. This man had come to know Christ in his early part of his ministry. And he reflects upon that length of time in Christ and said, this is one of my first fruits. And he's still serving the Lord. He's still honoring Christ, and we have wonderful fellowship together. Verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Speaks of a length of time that they've known each other. Oh, what fellowship. I've had the privilege of growing up in this church, of knowing many people over the years, and they have been formative in making me who I am. Todd Brainerd is not who he is because of who he is. He has become who he is because of the people that he's been exposed to in this ministry over the years. The influence of other brothers and sisters in Christ that have had an impact upon my life. And Paul recognizes that. A period of time has passed where we've been exposed to other brothers and sisters in Christ, and there's a special bond that happens over time. And that bond grows sweeter as the days go by, does it not? Some of the most blessed fellowship that you'll ever enjoy in this life is the fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ in church. It's a greater bond than blood. And I can say that from personal experience. It's a greater bond than blood. Some people would exalt blood relationships, but I want to tell you something. There won't be any blood relationships in heaven. Blood relationships are done away with in heaven. And what do you have left? The spiritual ones. Ought we not to be working on those in this life? Because those are all we're going to have in heaven. What a wonderful picture. Partnerships in Christ. Verses 6, 9, and 12 talks about how we work together. He uses the word worked in each of those verses. We work together, laboring together. That's another special bond of love. And then finally in verses 4 and verse 7, the sharing of sufferings in Christ. Twice he mentioned those who had been through the fiery trials of being in prison, undergoing the pressure. I found this statement some time ago, wrote it down. The white hot point of the welder's flame makes the strongest joint in the welded frame. How do you get joined together in welding? You have to have heat. You've got to have excessive heat that molds and molds those two things together. And one of the ways that we are joined together on this earth is the suffering of persecution for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever there is persecution, there is great unity among believers in Christ. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because they're having to go through the heat of the suffering of persecution for Christ. And Paul recognizes that in this particular passage. Four expressions of the bond that we have together. Chosen in Christ. Length of time in Christ. Sharing the sufferings of Christ and partnerships, laboring together in Christ. These are all expressions of love that you and I have. I trust tonight that we'll let this passage speak in a very, very important way of our expression of love toward other brothers and sisters in Christ. That it needs to be just more than talk. Amen? It needs to be more than just talk. Talk is cheap. There needs to be a physical expression. And I'm not just talking about a handshake and a hug. Physical expression of concern for each other. When a person in the church has a need, you're the first one to call the hospitality host and say, "Put me down, I want to help out." You ought not to be begged and pleaded with to help out. You ought to be the first one to step up and say, "I want to be a helper. I want to physically show this person that I love them. And I want to help out with that." That's what we're talking about here. Paul wanted that kind of relationship, and that's the kind of relationship that he had with other believers in Christ. He wasn't physically there, but his heart was there. Where's your heart tonight? Is it among the believers or is it in the world? That's the difference. God help us in this regard. Father in heaven, we thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the testimony of Phoebe, who was going to bear the message from the Apostle Paul to the Roman believers that were there and physically would express to them a holy kiss from the Apostle Paul, a wonderful expression of love. Lord, deliver us from a coldness of heart. Deliver us from being mechanical in our Christian walk. Oh, it's so easy to get in a rut of mechanically working our way through life, no genuine love. Father, help us in that regard. Perhaps the reason that we do not have genuine love for other brothers and sisters in Christ is because we don't have the love of Christ dwelling in us. One of the ways that we illustrate is that physical expression, that token that we belong to the same Savior and that we ought to walk together on this earth, strengthening each other's arms as we go along the pathway until we get to heaven. Pray, dear Father, that You would work in this church, work in our own hearts. Help us to have the right kind of testimony one to another, to pray for each other, to be concerned about each other, to know about each other and the different needs that we all have. Lord, help us to be concerned, to think beyond ourselves. For we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.